One, two, three, four.
Everybody, let's snap along. Start snapping while you sing. You can't go wrong. It will brighten everything.
You'll find
that singing's contagious.
Welcome to the Power of Singing podcast. My name is Joyce Wells, and I am so happy to be hosting this third season of our podcast, which is entitled The Power of Children Singing. I wore my best children's earrings today. In the words of the great Ella Fitzgerald, who had no children of her own but spent so much of her energy teaching children and passing music on to children, the only thing better than singing is more singing. And in that spirit, our intention in creating this podcast is to encourage you to sing anytime, anywhere, all the time, everywhere, alone, with other people, with your pets, with your plants. In other words, just sing. Start singing, keep singing, or enjoy listening to singing. Connect to singing in whatever way works best for you. Singing is beneficial for you and the world around you. We're recording this live on Zoom on August 21st, 2023. And we are the five members of the Santosha Voice Group. Santosha means contentment. The Santosha Voice Group provides expert information, inspiration, and opportunities related to singing for all levels of singers. So whether you're a professional, an emerging professional, an amateur, meaning you do it just because you love it, or you literally only sing when no one is around, the Santosha Voice Group offers something doable and accessible for you. We believe that singing is powerful and life-transforming. Check out our website at santoshavoicegroup.com. That's S-A-N-T-O-S-H-A voicegroup.com. And now I will introduce you to who we are individually. Heather Fetro is a professional classical soprano and voice teacher from the Washington, D.C. area. Heather specializes in music by women composers and is an active freelance soprano in the classical world. Hi, Heather.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Joseph Garate is a wonderful tenor and voice teacher based in Southern California, where he sings classical gigs all over the area, is the lead singer and writer for the band Diamonds, and is a DJ. Joseph also writes deeply personal songs and is especially passionate about music for people with special needs. And Joseph has an 8-year-old son.
Thank you so much.
Hi, Joseph.
Hello.
Rich McKinney is a composer, pianist, and choral conductor living in Missouri. Rich teaches composition and composes for local choirs and has a YouTube channel that features his piano interpretations. He was a singer before losing his vocal cords to Agent Orange exposure in Vietnam. Yet his love for music and his commitment to serving it continues to reverberate in the world. Welcome, Rich.
Thank you.
Susan Mohini Kane is the founder of the Santosha Voice Group. After successful careers as an opera singer and a college professor, Susan began channeling her extensive talents and skills into becoming a singer-songwriter and teacher, spreading the joy of singing wherever she goes. Susan has just completed her first album of original songs called Waking Up in Wonderland, which you can find on Spotify, or you can find out more about at susanmohinikane.com. The album will be released on November 17th, 2023. Welcome, Susan, and congratulations.
Thank you.
And I'm Joyce Wells, a singer, songwriter, and vocal coach living in upstate New York. After studying, performing, and teaching in many different genres, from classical to folk to Eastern music in the Vedic tradition, my focus now as a vocal coach is on supporting anyone of any age or any walk of life to enjoy your sound, for speaking or for singing. You can find out more at enjoyyoursound.com. And you can learn more about all of us on the santoshavoicegroup.com website. Today's topic is why children love singing together. And I will be leading us through this topic today. I don't remember when I began to sing, but I do remember singing all the time. And some of the strongest memories of all of my childhood are of singing with others, especially other children, and in particular, my five siblings. Listen to these two brothers, aged 3 and 5, singing a bit of their favorite pirate song.
"'Twas a sunny day when I went to play down by the sea. I climbed aboard a pirate ship and the captain said to me, we're going this way, that way, forwards, backwards, up and down and up and down over the deep blue sea."
They were so excited to sing that for me. They're two of my little students.
Yay.
5 years old.
That was so well done. What good diction. I got every word.
Yes. It was amazing. And siblings, you know, there's nothing like the siblings together. There's a kind of a connection that's different. My siblings and I, as I said, sang together constantly. We would make up songs, copy songs we heard, or learn songs from our parents. And I remember when we began particularly learning rounds, like Row, Row, Row Your Boat and Frère Jacques. And this was just magic, because when we sang these, it got complicated. We sang in harmonies. We had to be coordinated. So it was just so cool and so much fun. So then we began copying harmonies and before long making up our own harmonies. Why not? My siblings and I were a ready-made choral ensemble. There were 6 of us all together. And the possibilities seemed and were endless. My younger sister, Jenna, and I did the dinner dishes together 3 times a week. And we would put on my parents' records of our favorite operettas. I don't know if you know, but one I particularly loved was Amahl and the Night Visitors at Christmas time. And we put on Broadway musicals, and we would sing along at the top of our lungs, trading off the parts. I want to sing, you know, this one this time. So I can still sing every note of every one of those pieces of music. I got my first tiny ukulele and when I was about 6 or 7, and a guitar as soon as I was big enough to hold one, which I think was when I was like 8 or 9. And before long, as we got just a little older, Jenna and I started getting kind of serious about singing together without really realizing it. It was the era of folk music, the 60s. Peter, Paul, and Mary, the Kingston Trio, Joan Baez. We dove in. And by the time she was 9 and I was 11, we were both playing guitar and we began performing at church functions in front of hundreds of people. And my memories of doing this are all positive and uplifting. We worked very hard at the music, especially when we started doing things like that. We worked at the arrangements, we worked at all the details, but it was nothing but fun. Even getting it just right was a game. It was like a game. That's how I remember it. And it was such a natural evolution, just born out of the joy of singing together. My dear sister passed away a few years ago. And in the last conversation we had over the phone, we sang one of these childhood songs together. She called me and she hadn't been able to sing. She had COPD. And she hadn't been able to sing. And she said, all of a sudden, I can sing. And so we sang one of these songs together. And the harmonies and the joy still came bursting forth. And then there were sing-alongs with my many cousins or with campmates around summer campfires. And any songs that we learned, we would excitedly bring home and teach to each other. So this very natural part of life connected us in a way that nothing else quite did. All of my siblings pursued music and art. A couple of them are actually artists, but they also, some of them became an engineer, a nurse, an avionics specialist, an award-winning tile designer and tile setter, and a property manager, those different professions. I'm the only one who pursued music professionally. But whenever we come together, out come the instruments and the songs begin. And that same joy is there. By the time I was in second grade, joining a choir was available both in school and at the church we went to. And I joined right away. I couldn't get enough of it. But this was a little different. In some ways, it was more powerful, but mostly just different. Because coming together a bit more formally was still fun, but it had a thrilling kind of an edge. There was more at stake. We sang more complex music with different parts and special rhythms, sometimes adding instruments we played, or even singing with a small orchestra. And we had to do what was written. There was no making things up. We had to follow the conductor's baton and sing louder when they wanted us to and softer when they wanted us to. And we had to do this together. It gave us a sense of camaraderie that wasn't there in the other situations. We got excited supporting each other because we began to realize that we were serving something that was greater than ourselves, even at that young age. Listen now to one of my rehearsals for an elementary school concert from a few years ago when I was a teacher. It was an all-school concert, meaning not just for good singers, but for everyone to be a part of. So you won't hear perfection, but see if you can hear their spontaneity and their joy.
One, two, three, four.
Everybody, let's snap along.
And very complex. I mean, they were like, you know, they got it done. They loved doing that. All those claps and turns and snaps and louds and softs. It's a wonderful experience. These days, many children are encouraged to think it's important to be a superstar, a soloist, to go all the way through on The Voice or American Idol, competing with others rather than singing with them. I encourage children and anyone who has children to take advantage of any group singing situations you can find, structured or unstructured. It can be spontaneous. Create it yourself. Just start singing together. And there's actually a growing body of scientific evidence now showing that this is not just a neat idea, but that singing together with other people has measurable physical, emotional, psychological, and social benefits. Coming together and striving for a common goal is one that's obvious. The discipline it takes is another. Social networking is another. And there are more. But the very vibrations of hearing other people's voices, a especially in harmony, and putting your voices, if you're singing in unison, joining your voice with someone else's is also beneficial. It's nourishing. And I believe children love singing together because, as with so many other things, they don't need to be taught this. It's innate. They gravitate towards what is good for them and what is fun. And they're especially drawn to what is joyful and makes them feel connected to themselves and to each other and to the world around them. They know this. They already know it. So we can all take a lesson from them, even as adults. Now I'd like to pose my question to you, unless you have anything else you want to say about that music.
Yeah, I just want to say you could feel the joy that they had and the pride that they had in being able to perform that song.
Pride.
I like it.
Yes, they were very proud of themselves.
I loved hearing you say, watch, you know, like your voice in there. It was very cute. That's really nice guiding them.
Yeah, that's the thing of the elementary school teacher, any of you who've done it. Also, you're saying the words, you know, so that they may or may not remember the words.
Also, I'm reminded after listening to that, and since there are voice teachers here, maybe it's an appropriate question, but why is it that children so often instinctively know to go into their head voice and not to belt? You know, it's like a kid turns 16 or 17 or becomes an adult, and then it's like now we have to belt. But why they instinctively know to go into their head voice? I mean, so often I don't even know if they're even taught that, right? So it's just so funny. I was reminded that was like however many kids all beautifully just flipping into head voice without any issue.
Yeah, that was probably about 80 or 100 kids actually.
Wow. I think
amazing.
It just feels better to sing that way when you're a kid. You just do what feels better. It doesn't feel good to, you know, it doesn't feel good. You just force yourself to when you're an older person.
Right. Right.
And I do feel like it's important to point it out to them when they're really little, because some of them, that's what happens, what Rich was talking about before, which I think should be criminal to tell the children that they can't sing or they should mouth the word, because someone didn't show them the difference between those voices and let them be free with it when they're really little. If they get it when they're little, some of them do have it naturally and some of them don't. So they can use help. You know, but yeah, they did it really beautifully there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's, sorry, go ahead, Rich.
I was just going to say it's a lot like my PE teachers who only cared about the people who really good at athletics, but the grapes like me, they just ignored, probably to their benefit.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think there's an innocence. That's why they go to their head voice. They don't know, you know, that it would sound weaker. You know, there's all these bad connotations people have with the head voice versus the belt as we get older too. You know, like, oh, I want to keep it belty, you know, instead of like, well, there's this beautiful head voice, you know, but I think kids, they don't have that, any kind of association with like a feeling around that type of the voice. They just, well, my voice does that. So that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
No.
Yes. Yes. If your voice does that, it's okay.
Well, and I've actually had quite a bit of success in my career working with kids, with starting when they're really young, actually teaching them how to use all of it. I mean, so, you know, some teachers will go with the integrated sound or however, you know, however way you want to think about it. But I don't think it's ever too young to introduce those concepts to them, that their voice has many, many different colors and all of those different qualities, and they can use all of it, you know? So go for it. So my question to you is, what are some of your strongest memories of singing with others as a child? And why did you like it? Was it, for example, in an organized group? Was it with friends and family? Just what have you got to say about that?
Like Joyce, I sang with my sister, but the joy of that was that I was at the piano and making up the harmony, and she would do exactly what I said because I was smarter. But we enjoyed singing together, and we sang for a lot of events. And then I just learned that singing harmony with people is what I really love more than anything. You know, I don't care. Being a great singer was never really my goal. My goal was just to have everybody singing. I don't care where they come from or what they're singing. I just think it's very good for us.
And you felt that as a child, that it was good for you and good for others.
Yeah, I mean, it was my whole life, really. I was a loner, as I said, and, you know, I would be sitting on the floor playing with the washcloth, making up, you know, songs, whatever. So, yeah, I think it's a very natural thing, and sometimes we have to be careful not to get in the way of the natural.
I had like an embarrassment of riches in my family too with singers, because we had my tenor. My dad would sing tenor. My grandfather would sing bass. I had an aunt that was a great alto, could harmonize anything. And then a lot of us were sopranos. So it was like a vision of what's to come in my life, you know, lots of sopranos, but we were lucky to have one or so of every voice type to cover all the parts. And so at Thanksgiving dinners, we would always sing, "Come ye thankful people, come," and all the generations, you know, would sing together. And as a kid, I would just kind of look up and, oh, I should join on too, you know, what are the words, and just pick it up instinctively, you know? And so again, it's just like, I just expected everybody's family to sing together in four part harmony, I think, from an early age. And I keep trying to work on that. That's my vision. I know a lot of you for the future, right? That all families would be able to come together and harmonize so beautifully. The other one we did sometimes at family gatherings, we still do, is the Alleluia chorus, because we had just enough people to pull that off. People switch octaves if they need to, you know, but we can get through it still. And as I've gotten older and become more of a musician and a conductor, I get to lead it now. Whereas before, you know, I just used to sing soprano. So that's a really beautiful memory for me to have too.
I find this one of the most interesting kind of conundrums of the modern age is that, I mean, we had records then, but we didn't have, you know, MP3 players, or, I mean, we didn't, you know, if we wanted music, we needed to make music, you know, and the recording was starting to come in much more, but not anything like it is now. So, I'm not saying that we should take away all the technology, but I'm always looking for ways to encourage people to make their own music, because it's really very different. Very different.
I was remembering that I loved rounds. You know, as soon as I discovered a round, you know, I guess third grade, fourth grade, something in that area, I just wanted to sing rounds all the time. And that's all I did when we got together. We'd be on the playground and we would get together and sing rounds, mm-hmm. and try to find different rounds and try to find different things. And then later I discovered partner songs, and I would lead all my friends doing partner songs. And I just thought those were so much fun to do, like on the playground.
Totally.
I was going to say that's what we call a total music nerd.
Yeah, actually, that's kind of what I was going to say. You guys all have such sophisticated early music memories with harmony and rounds and things. No, I mean, I think it's fantastic. I don't think I sang in harmony, for example, until probably like my senior year of high school, honestly. And so, and I was thinking about your question, Joyce, and I was like, gosh, I don't know. I don't really know if when I sang with other people, but I do remember that my elementary school and junior high was I went to a Lutheran school, and we would sing always in unison, these sort of very kind of simple hymns, you know, Protestant hymns. And, mm-hmm. and that was, and I do remember being in a group of, you know, almost 100 kids singing these kind of really, what I thought were really pretty hymns, and that being a kind of a moving experience, you know,
well, you almost. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're still singing with other people. It didn't
happen. Yeah, correct.
With others. Yeah.
Right. That really is my first kind of real memory of singing with other people, and kind of losing my own voice in the sound of of other people, and but still kind of hearing it, you know, and I think that that was a really positive thing. But that wasn't, you know, that was probably like sixth grade. So earlier than that, I can't really remember. I can't think of anything.
I wanted to you just reminded me of something, Joseph. I know this is high school, so it's not exactly childhood, but you're still a child when you're in high school, right? And when I made the Allstate choir, and I got to go to Des Moines, Iowa, the big town, you know. And then when you're singing, it was the first time I'd ever sung with hundreds of other people in a basketball arena, mm-hmm. right? Hundreds of other singers. It's like it's such an earthquake in your life when that happens. You know, you're in this huge, huge arena and singing with hundreds of kids. And it's just like there's something so I don't even know how to say it except earthquake. It changes you. And later, you know, I sang in a lot of with symphony orchestras and choruses later in my life, and they had kind of similar experiences, mm-hmm. especially if there were a big chorus and a big orchestra all together singing together. But that first time when I'm 16 years old in this basketball arena in the big city, phew, mm-hmm. wow, incredible.
I had a similar experience when we sang with the all, I grew up in Seattle and there was the all city choir. And if you got in the all city choir, then you were singing with the hundreds were made up of kids from all over the city. And then we were in the opera house, you know, and the all city orchestra played. And I mean, it was, I still to this day remember that experience like it just happened. And I think I was the same as you. I think I was 16. It's life changing. Great. So, thank you for answering this question with your thoughts. And that concludes today's discussion about why children love singing together. I think it just carries forward into life, right? We can learn so much from children. And as I think as Rich said earlier, I feel like it's so important to just, I mean, we want to train them, we want to guide them, but let them, you know, there's so much innate knowledge there. So, you know, encourage them to go with that knowledge. And so until next time, we'll say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Power of Singing podcast season 3, The Power of Children Singing. You can hear all 5 of the episodes wherever you get your podcasts. To learn more about our group members, please visit our podcast page on our website, santoshavoicegroup.com. SANTOSHA. May your day be filled with the joy that is so natural to all of us as children. It is still there. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.